Greg, good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. Now, we've come through the elections. Oh, by the way, the latest news, of course, Eamon Ryan is stepping down as leader of the Green Party. He will remain Minister of Transport. Somebody said this morning, does that mean he's leaving? Does that mean the whole doll is going to collapse? And I said, no. He'll be still a TD till the next general election. Will he get voted in again? Probably not. I don't think the Green Party are going to do well. We can see in the general or in the European elections, they were kind of wiped out and also wiped out pretty much in the local elections too. It'll be interesting to see what a new leader will do for the Green Party. Anyway, we'll talk about that more. It's not really of interest to me today. What I wanted to focus on today was a philosophical question, which we haven't asked in a long, long time. And the answer changes over time. And I'm just looking on Twitter. I put a poll up on Twitter and 67% of people said they believe in God or a God. 84% of people in the world claim they identify with a religion of some description. So I'm assuming by identifying with a religion, you must believe in a higher power or a God. Although somebody did say to me before, I'm religious, but I don't believe in a God. Like, well, that doesn't make any sense to me, because surely if you're religious, there must be some leader of that religion or there must be some higher power that you believe in. So the question I'm simply asking today is, do you believe in a God? Now, it doesn't have to be the one in the sky, you know, with the beard and the stick in his hand. It can be Allah. It can be any God. Do you believe in any God whatsoever or a higher power of some description? Now, I'm an atheist and people know I'm an atheist, but I always say I'm probably the most Christian atheist you'll ever meet because I believe I've good morals. But you don't have to be, you know, religious to have good morals. You can be a good person without being religious, I believe. Well, some religious people don't believe you can. But I want to know what you think. Do you believe in a God? And why do people believe in a God? Is it hope? Is it fear? I think a lot of religion is based on fear. If you don't believe in God, well, then you don't go to heaven or you don't go to some nice place after you die or you don't meet all the ones who've passed before you. I think that that's what people hold on to, isn't it? Fear. I mean, that's probably why God existed in the first place, because people couldn't understand the reason why we're only on this planet for 80 years and then we disappear again. They couldn't understand it because it's very difficult for the human mind to understand that we really have no purpose. So let me know what you think. The number is 085-122-55. Do you believe in a God? With me on this for the first 5 or 10 minutes is Michael Nugent from Atheist Ireland. Michael, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon,
Michael, I'll come to you first. I'm going to come to Steve, who surprises me in a second. He's a regular caller to the show who I genuinely believe was an atheist, but he's not. But, I mean, why do you think, firstly, we're seeing a decline in religious belief? We're seeing a decline in people identifying with religion. If we had gone back 100 years ago, that figure would have been more like 95%. Now they say it's 84. Realistically, it's probably less. But why do you think there's a decline in religion?
Well, there's a lot of research on that. By a group called the World Value Survey that study human values around the world over the decades. And what they find is that in societies where people are focusing on survival values, that's where religion is strongest. So if people are worried about getting killed or where they're going to get their next meal or getting a roof over their head, that's where religion is strongest. As people move away from those survival values and are in societies that have had the benefits of education, communications technology, moves towards democracy. As those things happen in society, people move away from religious values and towards secular rational values. And that's pretty much a pattern throughout the world. Mm. Different paces in different places. That's essentially it.
Were you always atheist, by the way, Michael? Were you always an atheist or did you believe in God? Did you come from a religious family? Like, my father and mother were quite religious. My father particularly was very religious, very Catholic. And yet, you know, I kind of grew up not believing in God, having no interest whatsoever.
Well, I grew up in the 1960s and 70s where everybody was at least nominally Catholic, and my parents would have been the same. Like, they went to Mass. Mm. And so on. But they didn't force religion on us. They told us to just, you know, they brought us to Mass and then to make up your own mind.
Yeah.
I remember in primary school, the day that I first started to become an atheist was we were given a project to do over the Easter holidays to read the Gospels and rewrite them in our own words. And as I was rewriting the Gospels in the various stories of miracles and Jesus and so on, it kind of dawned on me that Jesus was like a comic book superhero. Mm. And he had all the attributes of the characters that I saw in my comic books. And from then on, I just thought, well, it's just a made-up story. Like, he's a very good, he's a very interesting character.
Do you think he existed? I mean, I know there was 19 historians in that region of the Middle East at that time, and none of them ever wrote about him because they didn't believe he existed. But there are others that will say that there was one manuscript or something, or one historian that had noted him, because there was many prophets at the time. But like there are prophets nowadays, you know, there are people who are quite outspoken and kind of conspiracy theorists, we probably call them nowadays. But I mean, do you believe he actually existed, this kind of man, this mythical man who could, you know, turn water into wine and, you know, and bring back the dead and all those kind of things? Do you believe that somebody who was quite clever existed at that time?
Well, I don't believe that anybody did those things. I believe there may be people who conned people into thinking that they did those things. I believe there are a lot of people, obviously, who were putting themselves forward as communicating the word, the creator of the universe. I don't think that happened. I don't think that's true. But it's quite possible that there are people who were claiming that. And I think the Jesus character is probably based on a combination of a number of those people mixed together and put into a story, the same way as, say, in Ireland, St. Patrick is based on a number of different people who existed in reality, but then a whole load of additional supernatural stories are added onto it.
Why do you think that particular story seemed to capture people's minds and hearts? Like you mentioned St. Patrick, nobody believes for a minute he really got the snakes out of Ireland. It's just a mythical story. But yet when we hear, you know, that this man 2,000 years ago, you know, brought somebody back from the dead or cured people and there was miracles and turned water into wine, all of a sudden, we believe it. Or, well, some people believe it. So why do you think that particular story captured people so well?
Well, it captured people, you know, in the Western world and in places where Christianity evangelized itself. But different stories, you know, evolved in other parts of the world. And there's any number of gods over the generations that different people have believed in. So it's just in the same way as in different parts of the world.
You know, all right.
Follow different football teams or follow, you know, anything. Like, different things will become popular in different parts of the world. But everybody, you'll notice, recognises how silly the other religions are, but they don't apply the same logic to their own.
That depends geographically and where you're from, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, so in any case, no, I don't think most people do believe it. You know, there was a poll about more than 10 years ago in Ireland of Roman Catholics going to the Eucharistic Congress in Dublin. And, the vast majority of them didn't believe in transubstantiation, which is one of the key things that Catholicism,
yeah,
you know,
course,
that the bread, body and bread literally become the body of literally become the body of Christ. Most people don't believe that. Half of Catholics didn't believe in hell, and this was 10 years ago. 20% or 18% of them didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And my personal favourite, 7% of them didn't believe in God, which I would have thought would be a fairly low hurdle for being a Catholic.
Yeah. Well, do you ever say that? Because Steve is a regular caller of the show. And Steve, you're a very logically minded person. And I've listened to you for years, both on the radio and both on the podcast as well. And not for one minute did I think you would believe in God, because you constantly talk about science and everything else. And you're very logically minded.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Michael Nugent there from Atheist Ireland. You know, there is this kind of vanishing feeling that, you know, religion is now disappearing slowly but surely, that because we're more educated, because we have more evidence, because science has become better, all those things that we didn't have answers for before, we now have answers for. So why do we need a creator?
So we have the answers for everything, do we?
Well, no, we don't. We might at some point, I don't know, in the future, but we've a lot of answers.
No, we will.
We've answers for things we didn't. We've answers for things we didn't have answers for before.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, right now, let me ask you and Michael a question. What would it take for either of you to believe that God does exist?
What would it take for either of us to believe that God does exist?
Yes.
If I saw a miracle, or if I actually saw somebody coming back to life, or if I saw something that I genuinely couldn't explain or didn't think there was a logical explanation for.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Excellent answer. Michael, have you got an answer for me?
Well, if you assume, again, it depends on what you mean by God, but if you assume it's this type of, you know, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-good mm-hmm. being and so on, the absolute minimum that you'd expect is that entity would be able to give the same message to everybody in the world. And that's not what you see. What you see is different people seeming to think that they're getting different messages from different gods, telling them to do different things.
Yes, you're correct.
And so mm-hmm. and there's no way of determining which of them is giving the right message or whether any of them are giving the right message. So the most logical starting point is that none of them exist.
Okay. So here's the now, Niall. What you're looking for is a miracle. Now, let me ask you both a scientific question.
You stop asking us questions. Let me answer. I'll ask the questions. It's my show.
I'm wondering why you believe. I want to prove you two atheists wrong. So hold on a second.
Okay. Go on.
So where does space end?
We don't know the answer to that question.
So it is impossible for it to end, and it's impossible for it not to end. Is that not a miracle?
No, that's a scientific explanation because it's infinity, isn't it?
Okay, and are you saying that God and science can't go hand in hand if he was the one who created it?
Well, the majority of scientists don't believe in God. That kind of tells you something, doesn't it? It's a very small percentage of scientists believe in God.
Niall, even the most staunch atheists out there hold some sort of belief that maybe there could be something. Now, you look around you, Niall, right now in your studio, the very fact that you have life that came out of nothing. And when I say nothing, you can never, and science can never imagine what nothing actually exists of, because it exists of nothing. And yet you were born out of that. Now, can you explain that to me? Because you're looking for a miracle. You're specifically looking for a miracle. When life appears from nothing, you're telling me that's not a miracle?
No, life as we know it appears from nothing. Well, it doesn't appear from nothing. It's about we have a biological explanation for it, don't we?
No. I'm talking about from the Big Bang, Niall, before anything existed. Mm-hmm. Life was born out of nothing.
But you're attributing you're attributing that to a god. You're not attributing that to scientific anomalies. You're attributing it to a god.
So let's say there's a scientific anomaly.
We're going around in a bit of a circle here. I want you to explain to me what you believe God is. Firstly, what do you believe God is?
Okay, so I actually agree with Michael on a lot of stuff. So, you know, it's basically wherever you're born is the religion that you're going to believe in. If I was born over in Pakistan, I'd be Muslim.
Yeah.
You know, if I was born in Israel, I'd be Jewish. So at the end of the day, you know, it's a bit of a lottery on that. And what I agree on is you have a lot of callers who come on who are Christian or Catholic who haven't even read the Bible or haven't looked outside of their own religion. And there's a terrible amount of ignorance that goes on within religion. Me personally, I don't believe in any singular religion. And Niall, I know you said it at the start, you know, that somebody had told you they're not religious, but they believe in God. That's me. I'm not religious. I don't follow any one particular religion. I do believe in a higher power. I believe the books are the most fallible form of communication out there. If you want to communicate a message to the entire planet, you don't give one man a message and tell him to tell the rest of the world to write it down, because like it's Chinese whispers at that stage. So I think what Michael said is a really good point. You would give the one message to all. And Michael, you're absolutely correct, and they're called instincts. I believe that God did give us all a message, which is inside of us, you don't kill. I didn't need religion to learn that. I don't need somebody else to tell me that. You know it's wrong already. You know you can't step off the edge of a cliff or you'll die.
Is that not because you were raised to believe that? You didn't know that when you were born?
No, absolutely
It's not a natural instinct. Quite the opposite. Killing something to eat it would be a more natural instinct than not killing.
Killing one of your own isn't Niall.
Human beings are 9 times more likely to kill each other for enjoyment. But that's just a statistical fact. The point is that when you were raised as a child, as a baby or whatever it was, you weren't born with the knowledge that you shouldn't steal or commit adultery or kill somebody or whatever it is. You weren't born with that knowledge. That knowledge is indoctrinated into you as a child.
You understand what self-awareness is, do you?
I do, yeah.
Okay, so explain to me what self-awareness is.
Well, I'm aware of everything. I'm aware of my surroundings. I'm aware of myself. I'm aware of who I am.
A dog goes over and attacks a cat and rips the cat asunder. Do you think the dog goes off and feels guilty about it?
No, not at all.
No, not at all, because they're not self-aware. That's what self-awareness is. Yet if a human being, down to a child, goes over and hits another child and sees the child cry, an instinct kicks in, which is guilt. Can you tell me where does that come from?
Okay, well, let me throw that to Michael. Michael, there is a lot to explain when you write off the word God. When you remove the word God from the equation, science can't explain a lot of things. And Steve talked about self-awareness. Those kind of instincts that we have of guilt, pride, embarrassment,
love,
those kind of basic natural human instincts, they're very difficult to explain because they're not biological. So you know, the only way people would say that could be instilled in human beings is by a higher power who's given us those qualities.
Well, first of all, that's not what self-awareness is. Self-awareness is being aware that you exist as an individual entity. And the way that scientists test that with non-human animals is, say, if you put them in front of a mirror and you put a spot on their head, if they notice that there's a spot on the head of the animal in the mirror and then touch their own head, that's a sign that they're aware that they're looking at an image of themselves rather than an image of, or rather than looking at another animal. I think what you're talking about here is more senses of morality than the senses of self-awareness. And where that comes from, and you're right that it does come naturally, insofar as if you look evolutionarily, like species that look after their young, the young are more likely to grow up and to adulthood and pass on their genes to future generations. And so ultimately you reach the stage that looking after your young becomes a natural instinct because the ones that don't die out. And so there's examples of non-human animals displaying morality in the same way there are examples of humans displaying morality. And what religion does is it adds a corrupting element to that morality is based on things like compassion and empathy and fairness and justice and cooperation.
Well, Michael, we're not talking about religion. We're talking about the existence of God.
Yeah, I'll just finish this point and then I'll, because you brought up the idea of morality as part of what you're arguing about.
Mm-hmm.
What religion does is it corrupts that natural morality, which I would argue doesn't come from God, and I've explained it with one example of how it comes from just natural evolution. But what religion does says, independently of whether something, you would do it for out of compassion or justice or fairness or reciprocity, that you shouldn't do it because somebody wrote something in a book 2,000 years ago. So that's where religion is not only not needed for morality, but actively corrupts natural morality.
I think we would all agree that religion can corrupt people, and we've seen examples of that worldwide, for thousands of years.
By the way, as can secularism, secular ideologies like fascism.
Absolutely, that's quite damaging. By the way, secularism is damaging to society equally as well, depending on the types of things people believe in. But Steve, Steve, can you prove? I suppose it's the person who makes the claim is the one that needs to prove what the claim is.
That's a terrible old trope, Niall, to throw out. It's the person who makes the claim.
You're the one claiming there's a person who kind of made the world.
You're the one asking the question.
I am, but you're making a claim. I'm not making a claim that somebody created the world in 7 days or whatever it was, right? You're making the claim.
I never said that either.
Okay, well, you're making the claim somebody did. You're making a claim that there's a higher power that's responsible for all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you prove that claim?
Okay, and Niall, how do you prove there's not? We can go around in circles. That's a silly question.
It's not. If you go right back in time.
Can I take that one, Niall? Niall, can I take that issue?
Okay, well, Michael, you can take that one.
Yeah, we can't know whether God exists, because we can't know for certain many things that we believe are true. So how do you evaluate what's most likely to be true is the question. And I suggest that faith and personal experience are the worst and the least reliable ways of identifying what's true.
Absolutely.
They result in different people coming to different beliefs about the same reality, and that applying reason to evidence is the most reliable way, and that when we apply reason to evidence, we notice that the idea of a God seems to be implausible, that reality and morality seem to be as we would expect them to be if there was no God, and that there's a relentless pattern of natural explanation.
Michael, then how do you explain reality?
In what sense, Eddie? Explain. You don't have to explain reality to say that there's a God or to say that there isn't a God.
Do you not?
The default position is to that question. There are big questions that science hasn't answered. There's what happened before the Big Bang. There's how did life begin? We know how it evolved after it began. There's the question of consciousness. You know, there's a lot of questions that science hasn't answered. But the answer to that then is we don't know. It's not to invent a creature that's or a creator and attributed to that. Yeah, I'm quite comfortable saying that.
Would that not apply to everything in the world? You know, when we can't explain something, be it a disease, be it cancer, be it, whatever it happens to be, We don't know the answer right now, but maybe in 50 years we will. I mean, if you go back 2,000 or maybe 10,000 years ago and some lad stood in a field and was watching the crops growing and he realised that the crops are only grown at a certain time of the year, okay, because he looked up at the sky and seen this ball in the sky, but had no idea what the ball actually was, right? But he just knew it was good. And that's actually where they believe the word God came from, the word good, right? So, so you had good and evil, evil being the winter or the nighttime when the crops didn't grow and the harvest didn't grow. So that was good and evil.
Yeah.
And realistically, we didn't know the answers. So they attributed things to God that we didn't know the answer to. Now, as time moved on and we understood what the sun did, we understood what the crops grow, we understood where the trees grow, how the mountains are formed, how volcanoes happened, why the seas are there. When we start to understand all of these things, we attribute less and less to this kind of higher power of God. Is that another way? And then in thousands of years, that will continue to change and we'll know more answers. Isn't that the way it works?
Hold on a second. So first of all, you know, science will never know everything or would stop.
Of course.
You know, so here's the thing, you know, what you're saying to me is volcanoes and the sun, you know, and life at its very basic form.
Yeah.
You know, that we have explained all of these things. Fantastic. Good for you. You've explained a few things. But how did those few things get there in the first place? Nobody has the answer to. Not you, nor Michael, has the answer to these questions. Before the Big Bang ever happened, what was there? What existed? How did the Big Bang happen? Nobody knows the answers to these questions. And to assume...
It doesn't follow from that there's a God. It doesn't follow from the fact that we don't know that there's a God.
Hold on, no, but it follows the fact that there may be a creator. Because things don't happen out of nothing. It is impossible, the law of entropy.
Okay. Well, listen, I have to bring in loads of callers. And Michael, I want to thank you for coming on today and starting the conversation. Thank you very much indeed. Michael Nugent, Atheist Ireland, I appreciate you coming on. Steve, stay with me for a second. I want to go to Edward as well. Edward, hi, how are you?
Yeah, look, good, Niall. And I don't know whether that other speaker is still there, but I mean, there's several things I would take issue with. And chief among, first of all, let's just get something clear. Karl Marx once wrote, religion is the opium of the people. Okay.
Yeah.
This notion that we're obliged to prove the existence of God is one almighty cop-out by all theologians since the beginning of time. We don't have to prove that there's an existence of God. We live in an evidence-based society and where, you know, these ideas that there is a higher power or that there is a God needs to be fed to us in some form, in some shape or form, where we can actually physically see with our own eyes that this lad exists. All right? He doesn't. It's a nonsense. It's an absolute nonsense. And people who have been fed the lies by the church over the years, Niall, have, unfortunately, for one reason or another, continued to believe this crap. And the Bible is just one big, large piece of fiction. Untold, highly edited piece of fiction.
It's the best-selling piece of fiction, actually. Although it was beaten by Harry Potter one year, the Bible. But it is the best-selling piece of fiction in the world, if that's what you want to call
it. Niall, do you know what I've noticed with all the atheists on today? Whatever one he is, you're confusing and conflating religion with the existence of a higher power.
No! Don't confuse a higher power with atheism or anything. I don't like to be labelled, all right, because it fits into your narrative, all right. You shall not do that to me.
Do I have a narrative?
Because that's a form of gas. It's a form of gaslighting. It's a form of manipulation and it's a form of abuse. Okay.
Where am I manipulating? Where am I gaslighting any of you? Have I called him something?
I tell you what. I tell you what. When you speak, I'll stop, and when I speak, you stop. Is that fair?
Go ahead, Edward. I apologize.
Okay. I do not subscribe to any notional labels, atheism, theologian, or whatever you like, okay? I have an opinion. I have read the Bible from back to front several times, in actual fact. I've discussed it with various religious leaders, and the one thing that's not happening in this country is no cardinal or bishop is prepared to come on national television and discuss this issue at length. They're simply not.
Mm-hmm.
I've read some of the teachings of Christopher Hitchens, and I'm sure you would do well to do the same.
Can I ask you a question, Steve? I'm in charge.
Hold on a second. Edwards was quick to pick me up just because I labelled him an atheist and then made an assumption that I haven't read Edward Hitchens. Are you for real?
Christopher Hitchens.
I,
It's not Edward Hitchens, it's Christopher Hitchens.
I beg your pardon. Your name is Edward. A slip of the tongue, a faux pas, one would say. I'm sorry about that, Edward. But look, I have read plenty to do with religion across the board, as I have explained on this show many a times. I studied with Jehovah's Witnesses. I studied the Catholic religion. I studied Islam. You know, so I've studied a lot of religion, and I will say to you, Edward, I won't call you an atheist, I'll call you Edward, what you're doing is you're conflating religion again with the existence of a higher power. That is what you're doing. I don't believe in the religious textures, the texts that are out there. It's all Cogswell up, in my opinion. There's no one individual that has ever met God or has passed the words down. I don't believe in these religions whatsoever. So please don't get me confused with those people either.
But you do believe in God?
I do believe in a God or a higher power, yes. Okay. Absolutely.
Okay. And what is that? Define that for me, please.
The Creator. Whoever created this mess, whoever created all of this, the fact that you're seeing out of your two eyes, that you're on a phone now, that you're talking to me, the one who created all of this, who existed before the Big Bang and who will exist after the Big Crunch.
No, we got all that. Okay, there's no point in getting into repetition. Got that. So you think he created what we're now standing on at this moment in time?
Yes, I do, yeah. How could there not be a creator? How does something appear out of nothing, Edward?
No, I'm not going to get into that argument. It's not a case of how does
something appear out of nothing?
Okay, you're back to talking across me. You know, the beginning of your sentence is interrupting the middle of mine. Can you just allow for that for a moment, please?
Here's usually how the babe works, Edward.
Okay.
Your nonsense has been parlayed by so many other so-called experts, I don't know what you would call yourself, who claim to have the fine line.
Can I ask you a question? Sorry, Edward, for interrupting.
It is utter balderdash.
Okay, sorry for interrupting you, Edward, right? But, you know, Richard Dawkins himself is probably the most famous atheist in the world, said he would never rule out the idea of a creator. Or a god.
I saw that particular speech. In fact, it's been well documented. But what we haven't got now is we have not one scintilla of evidence to support any of those beliefs.
Well, hang on. I suppose, now, I don't believe, obviously, in a god, Edward, you know, my position. But in saying that, the argument from those people who do believe in a god is they do have evidence because you can't explain everything else. In other words, you can't explain what happened before the Big Bang. You can't explain how far space and time goes. You can't explain certain things. So that's they claim that's Niall. Their evidence.
Niall, there's empirical evidence to support how the world was created. Empirical evidence.
Off you go. So educate us.
That's going to take a day and a half. Okay.
Trust me, Edward. Trust me. Trust me when I say I am well aware of the Big Bang and evolution. And trust me, I am well aware of these things. And you know what? I might add that you're a bit of an ignorant asshole as well, because you've told me that I'm speaking nonsense, and you're speaking down to me as if I don't understand what I'm talking about. And the ignorance out of you is outstanding.
You haven't a clue, mate. You haven't a clue. You're talking to me.
Okay, do I not? I tell you what, Edward. I'll tell you what, Edward. Right? Listen.
You're on here trying to control.
What's the Big Bang?
You're trying to control.
Edward.
Okay. Hang on, both of you. Let's just calm the argument down for a second. I'm going to stay there, both of you. I want to bring Maureen in on this as well. Maureen, hi. How are you?
Hi, Niall. Hi.
Now, you believe in God in a more traditional sense, obviously from a Catholic point of view. Edward doesn't obviously believe in a God. He thinks it's absolute and utter nonsense, and he believes you've been fed a lie. Do you have any evidence, Maureen, that God exists?
Well, I just take a look at us, for example. We're the most complex human beings on this earth. So who created such a complex human being?
Well,
scientists created it.
Well, I think scientists have given very good explanations as to how...
The
complexities of human beings has been explained by science, down to chromosomes and DNA and...
Yes, but they didn't create us, Niall.
I know they didn't create us. Well, of course they didn't create us, although they have created some people in a test tube. But they didn't, you know, you're right, they haven't created us. But we create each other by reproduction.
We were made, I believe, as a Catholic, we were made in God's image and likeness. He created this world from nothing. That's what I believe.
And does that go back
to...
Does that go back to Adam and Eve?
Yes, he put everything on this planet for our use.
So, Maureen, have you just abandoned the idea of evolution completely? As far as you're concerned, evolution didn't happen.
What did...
The evolution of human beings. You know, we didn't evolve from apes or monkeys or
whatever. No, we did not evolve from apes.
We evolved from Adam and Eve.
No.
And that was it.
Yes, we're human. We didn't evolve from apes.
And what about the scientific...
He created the animals, he created the end, the sea, the fish, us humans, he created everything. And everything.
And you don't think you're a victim of brainwashing, Maureen, do you? You don't think you're a victim of brainwashing from Stuart?
No, I'm a Catholic, Ed. I'm a Catholic. And I believe in my Catholic faith, and I'm not a bit ashamed to admit it either.
I didn't ask you to be ashamed. No, on the contrary. I said, do you believe you're a victim of brainwashing?
No, I don't. Because I believe. No, I don't. Because I believe in Almighty God. I don't believe I'm brainwashed at all.
And you don't believe that the church have had any influence over your thinking?
Excuse me, Ed. You had your say. I, too, have read the Bible. I, too, have read the Quran. I, too, have read a lot of other books. And I, too, have read the man-made religions through the Reformation.
I'm merely asking you a question. I'm not trying to interrupt you. I'm merely asking you a question.
Okay. Catholicism is not man-made.
Well,
Catholicism was created by God. And it was created...
The point Edward is making is, you know, in relation to indoctrination, which is a fancy word for brainwashing, from a very young age, Maureen, including myself, you know, we were sat down in a classroom at 4 years of age and the teacher would throw the catechism in front of you and tell you, here's the Bible, here's the catechism. Jesus was a bloke. He went around 2,000 years ago, turned water into wine, brought people back to life again. You know, he was God's son. He was born of a virgin birth. You know, that the story of Jesus Christ, I'm sure you're a very learned person, Maureen, and you're well aware that the story of Jesus Christ has been repeated many times throughout the years by different gods. In other words, born on the 25th, you know, born of a virgin birth, 12 disciples. That story has been used in pagan times by different gods. That's not a coincidence that they just keep using story.
Not the greatest story ever told.
The god of Horus was born on the 25th of December, had 12 disciples, brought people back to life 3 days later, was killed and died, came back to life 3 days later. The god of Krishna also was born on the 25th of December, had disciples, died, came back 3 days later. Many of God's pagan gods all use exactly the same story. That's a bit of a coincidence. And they all had a virgin birth.
No, they did not.
They did, Maureen. You can check it out. It's historical.
I'm telling you, they didn't as a Catholic. And if people don't believe that Jesus Christ himself could change water into wine, Jesus Christ could do anything. That was at the wedding of Cana.
That's because it was in the book.
Others don't believe in his mother. Protestants certainly don't.
But that's good. You're telling me that because it's in the Bible. That's the only reason.
But it was recorded.
In the Bible.
Are you telling me that all things down through the past, even when you go into Islam,
the Bible wasn't written at the time of the existence of Jesus Christ.
Everything the Muslims have written, they're supposed to have recorded from Allah.
That's all man-made. That's all a construct. That's all man-made construct. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. It's fictional.
But Catholicism is not.
Entirely fictional. You can't believe in a book simply because it says so. I mean, if I would...
Hold a minute. You've had your say. Would you just let somebody else explain their religion, please?
Do you believe God walked on water and he turned
Jesus
walked on water, not God, you idiot.
Jesus, yeah.
The Last Supper. Transubstantiation, where he changed bread and wine into his own body and blood.
And he parted the Red Sea as well, did he?
At the foot of the cross, this is documented, and is also documented by Pontius Pilate in the letter. This is well documented.
But Maureen, sorry, Steve, I'll let you back in now. As I mentioned earlier on to Michael Eugene, there were 19 famous historians or writers in that area of the Middle East 2,000 years ago, and none of them wrote about a person called Jesus.
That's right.
I'm not allowed to be explained something here.
Okay.
At the foot of the cross of the crucifixion, there was a soldier who pierced Christ's side and water and blood came from him. His name was Longinus. The water passion is
from the Bible.
Well,
you're just
documented.
Quoting adverse.
His sight
you're quoting
was
verbatim
returned.
From the Bible.
He became
that's all
Christian.
Narrative.
I mean, Maureen, I'm not doubting you believe everything you're telling me, but everything that you're telling me is just what you've read in the Bible. The point Edward is making is the Bible isn't true. It's just a fictional book.
We read in every book ever written back down through the centuries. Was documented at some point.
But I've read all the episodes, the magazines of Spider-Man. That doesn't mean that he exists.
No, I'm fucking so bleeding past.
No, I'm not. No, I'm just giving you, I'm genuinely giving you an example. Just because you read something in a book doesn't mean it's real. I'm just saying.
Hold on a second. Right, whoa, right. Okay. Let me put something to you, and I'm going to call him the atheist. So you're talking about brainwashing. Now, he's talking about reading up on why there is no other, why there is no God. And you are doing the same thing. You're providing evidence to other people you have. You're basically taking it on an evidence-based thing where other people have told you. So you are brainwashed yourself. So again, another silly argument.
I wouldn't pick up a fictional novel and claim it's true, for example. But I would pick up a book that has scientific empirical evidence and claim that's true. Yes, of course I would. Unless that empirical evidence changes over time, which it does.
You're brainwashed by Richard Dawkins?
No, not at all.
No, I
would read books by Christopher Hitchens or Richard Dawkins, but I'd read them critically. And I don't agree with everything in them. But in saying that, if we're talking about factual science, if I read, a published paper, for example,
Niall, what the hell does Richard Dawkins say that's factual? What's fact in his books? Come on, you guys are so learned. You've read his books.
No, I would read it. If I was reading, any of his books, I would read them and I would look at them and critically. And I would say, well, I might agree with that bit. I don't agree with that bit. But that's not, you're right. That's not scientific. It's his view and his opinion.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I didn't say I believed everything that Richard Dawkins said either.
No, but the point of it is, Niall, if you're an atheist, there's a reason why you're an atheist. You chose not to believe in a God and you start looking around for evidence that there wasn't a God.
But it doesn't make me any different to you, because I don't believe it.
Absolutely. This is exactly my point. So the other lad, Edward, is saying that we're brainwashed. Myself and Maureen are brainwashed. And he's not.
No, I can answer that. I can answer that very quickly, and brainwashing obviously is something that we could discuss at length on another forum. But the fact of the matter is that when you take a child 4 or 5 years, and you threaten that child, with God, fear and damnation and hell, and burning in hell if it doesn't follow a certain doctrine, that's just the beginning. I certainly was subjected to that, as was Niall, as was, I'm sure, was Maureen, as were you, maybe. I don't know. When you take that child and then you turn that into an adult, and when that adult starts asking questions, that's when the trouble really starts in this country. We have a section of society here in Ireland, 67%, as Niall pointed out, who actually believe this now and continue to attend a place on a Sunday where they go down on bended knees to somebody they've never met, never seen, and they hand over money to a fella in a frock. Give me a break.
Well, hang on, let Maureen respond to that, because Maureen, you would be a church goer, wouldn't you? You would.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
And I go down on my knees. And you know why I go down on my knees? Because I go down on my knees to my king, to my Lord, to my Saviour and my king, and I show him
Have you met this king? Because we have King Charles over there in UK. At least we've met him. Have you met this lad?
Listen, don't try to be funny with me. Just because I believe in Almighty God, and actually the Holy Trinity, Father God and Holy Son, not just Almighty God himself. His Holy and Blessed Mother.
I presume you believe in the Immaculate Conception.
And you can joke, and you can do all you like. I'm a proud Catholic, and I will defend my faith to my last breath.
Of course you will, because anybody who is deluded as you are will have to do that. And we're obliged to do that.
No, I'm deluded because I tell you something. On the last day, on the judgment, when you stand before Jesus Christ himself, I hope that you will be so smart and that you will be able to laugh at him and say, you know what? You deluded everybody.
Okay, well, hang on, both of you. Edward and Maureen, please stay with me. Thank you, Steve. Let me go to Carl. Yeah, let me just go to Carl. Edward, stay with me. Maureen, please stay there too. Carl, hi, how are you?
Niall, how are you?
Go ahead, Carl. You believe in God?
I believe in God. That's my faith. I was born into this world. I was baptised as a Roman Catholic. I was confirmed as a Roman Catholic. You know, that's my faith. I don't believe in the whole Catholic ethos.
Yeah.
But I'll put two questions to Edward. He's asking us to prove there is a God. I cannot prove it. So I'll ask him to prove there is no God and show me.
I don't have to prove that. I don't,
Well, Karen, that's a bit of a daft argument. If I turned around to you and said, you know, there's a pink elephant on the planet Zorg, you turn around to me and say, that's a load of nonsense, prove it, right? So it's not up to the person who, it's up to the person who makes the claim. It's not the other way around, and that's not the way it works.
No, but what I'm basically saying, Niall, is that man, Edward, has come on and he has criticised and he's been patronising towards that woman on her phone, on the phone there because of her faith. She has her faith. She's entitled to her faith.
Yes, she is.
I respect everyone's religion.
I respect Maureen's faith. I don't believe it, but I respect it.
Not you, Niall. I'm talking about that other.
Yeah, Edward.
Wannabe.
I have not criticised her.
Another thing, Edward. By the way, there was a guy called Michael Durant who was shot down in Mogadishu in Somalia. He was an American Air Force pilot. A sworn atheist. Right? So you remember it, right? So the only thing he was ever given when he was being held captive by the Red Cross was a Bible. Now, he never actually read the Bible, but he actually wrote little notes in it. And one of the notes that he wrote, and it will stand out to me anyway, personally, and it stands up a lot of people, he actually said, even atheists, when faced with their own demise, will turn and pray to someone. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you turn around and you're going to pray to someone? I'm asking you a question. Have you ever found yourself in that situation?
Edward, have you ever found yourself in that situation where something is tragically going wrong in your life?
I've been in those situations. In fact, I can count two occasions where I came very, very close, very, very close to losing my life. Okay, but at no stage did I ever turn to God during that process.
I never said God. I said someone. Did you ever turn and pray to someone?
No, okay, let's just take the energy down and leave it at least. I'm answering your question, and I can't do that.
It's a simple yes or no answer. It's either yes or no. I don't need to hear the whole ins and outs. It's either yes or no.
It's a little bit.
Okay, well, hang on, Karen. Let him explain the answer.
It's a little bit more complex than that. For you to suggest that, you know, look, I'm rubbishing that woman's faith. I'm not. I'm simply rubbishing the dogmatism that's associated with that faith. And what she's doing is she's repeating a narrative. She's repeating.
That's what you've done. Yeah, you are rubbishing my faith, actually.
So I've asked you a simple question.
You're repeating a narrative that has been drilled into children in this country.
I can only hear one person at a time. Carl, he clearly said he hasn't. He said he was in that situation. Okay. If you listened, he said he was in that situation twice when he came close to death and he didn't pray to anybody or turn to a higher power.
Well, I find that very hard to believe. Okay, we've gone to
your thing. Whether you do or not is irrelevant.
We've gone to the second question, Edward, right? The man that knows it all. Doesn't believe the Bible, yet you sat down and
See, Karen, you're giving out to Edward for being patronising to Maureen, yet you're being equally as patronising to Edward.
No, but see, because Maureen will sit there and she will try and defend our faith. I'm trying to defend Maureen against a gobshite called Edward, who does not seem to listen.
But what I'm finding odd here is, right, everybody's insulting each other today just because they disagree on a point. So in other words, you're calling him a gobshite, you're calling him patronising, and yet you're doing exactly the same thing yourself, Carl.
I know. And I put my hands up and say, yeah, I will do it, but I'm trying to defend a woman.
You need a mirror,
fella.
You need a mirror now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A mirror.
Are you done? Are you finished?
You believe in the theory of evolution that we all evolved from apes, yeah? How come apes
are not using using what's between your ears, fella? That's your challenge, okay? You're not using
I'll answer that question for you. That's a very age-old question. How come if we all evolved from apes and monkeys that the apes and monkeys still exist? And why don't they all just turn into human beings? Because there's different levels of evolution. And for example, I can use dogs as an example. You know, most dogs that we see nowadays come from wolves or fox. So because they're all part of the same family, right? But yet foxes and wolves don't turn into, you know, Labradors. And the reason for that is because Labradors and, you know, other types of dogs have been man-made by breeding different types of dogs together and have evolved slowly over time to become different sizes and different types of dogs. The same thing happened with human beings. Some human beings evolved from apes and some didn't. That's just the way it is, because it's depending on geographically where they came from. And I'll give you a great example. I was watching a documentary about evolution, and There was two pigeons in Trafalgar Square, and this was the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen. And they had noted that the wing tips and the wing sizes of the pigeons in Trafalgar Square had got smaller over the years. And these two pigeons, rather than flying to Leicester Square or wherever it was they were going, walked down the subway steps and got onto a train and got off at the next stop. This is the truth. And got off at the next stop and went back up the stairs to where they were going. In other words, they knew there was an easy way to get to their destination because they had done it so many times. And what they're saying was, because these pigeons are not flying as much as other pigeons, you know, who would be out there in the sky somewhere, their wingspan had got slightly smaller. Now, only slightly, because evolution takes thousands and thousands, millions of years. But it had got smaller. So we are evolving, and animals are evolving for their surroundings and habitats every single day of the week. Like, you buy a fish tank, and you buy, say, particularly with saltwater fish, you buy a particular type of fish, it will only grow to the size of the tank. You know, it's not going to grow hugely if you have a small tank, but if you have a bigger tank, the fish will actually grow bigger. And that's a fact. So what I'm saying to you is, animals evolve. So that's why there's still apes and chimpanzees out there. And we have human beings as well. So that's how evolution works. It doesn't necessarily always follow the rule that every one of those animals has to evolve into something.
And that's why seagulls have wings, so they can beat you just like a man to the dump. You know, I mean, it's exactly what I've been trying to tell people for the last 10 years. This idea that religion or that there is a higher power actually exists is all completely notional and in their heads. But you can't convince somebody who's of the belief that this is the only truth. That truth is their truth, and there's no other truth exists. That is the challenge for
okay, well, hang on. Let me just bring Jessica in. Stay with me, Edward, because I want you to stay there because Martin's coming on in a second. I want you to have a conversation with Martin. Jessica, hi, how are you?
Hey, Niall.
How are you doing? I always get myself into trouble in this particular debate,
by the way,
because I have a huge amount of respect for people who are religious as well, you know what I mean? And I respect their belief.
No, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to bash somebody's belief. But at the same time, even just listening to Edward and, what's the other name, Carol, was it?
Carol, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even in just listening to you two, it just proves my point. Religion is more divisive than it does unite. I cannot think of a single good thing that religion has united. Look at all the wars, look at the Crusades. I can't think of any good thing from religion.
That a girl, that's correct.
Okay, well, no, it's not correct, Edward. Religion does bring people together in a unified manner. Now, it causes problems, too. I'm well aware of that. A lot of wars have been created by religion, but it does unify people as well.
Niall, religion has been responsible for some of the worst conflicts in living memory. It's a constant source of conflict, including Protestants and Catholics up north, okay, just as an example, all right? Mm-hmm. Historical and contemporary examples include wars, terrorism and sectarian violence, all driven by religious differences. Come on now.
Well, it's also driven by cultural differences as well.
Well, Protestants and Catholics have been at each other's throats purely because they're a proddy, or you're a tyke, one or the other.
Yeah, but that also came over the value of land as well.
The only reason Protestantism came around is because Henry wanted a divorce. That's all how that came along.
Henry wanted a divorce.
If he didn't get that divorce, would any of the crap have happened? No.
Yeah, but you know, you can't just directly blame religion for the wars, right? Now, it is a direct blame for a lot of wars, but most wars, it's not just about religion. It's about borders, it's about land, it's about culture, it's about many different things.
When one of the bases is religion, you kind of have to think, what the hell is going on? But even as Edward said, I don't want to like kind of bash this religion because I'll probably get attacked or something, but look at what happened to the Ariana Grande concert in Manchester.
But you're talking now. To be fair, Jessica, you're talking about fundamentalism.
Doing something for his God.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's horrific. But you're talking about fundamentalism, and if you look, for example, there's been Christian fundamentalism as well. If you go back years, more so years ago, but there is Christian fundamentalism as well. But they're a minority. I understand a minority can do a lot of damage, but they're a minority. The majority of people who are Muslim are peaceful people. The majority of people who are Christian are peaceful people. You know what I mean? They're not going to go out and, you know, bomb buildings or start wars or whatever it is. The majority are peaceful. And if you look, there's atheists that start wars as well.
I'd like to think that we have peaceful Catholics in Ireland, but I still get called every this, that and the other, that it's a sin and all just for being who I am.
Do you believe in God? Do you believe in God at all, Jessica? Do you believe in a God?
No.
No, okay. So what happens when you die? You just go into the ground, that's the end of it, like.
I don't know. Now, maybe when I'm on my deathbed, God forbid.
See what I mean? You're hedging your bets, aren't you?
No, but yeah.
Maybe, but so you're agnostic is what you're telling me.
Maybe.
You're an agnostic then. Jessica, I can't believe you just come on to argue against the position and then all of a sudden said, maybe when I'm on my deathbed, I'll start believing in God or praying to somebody.
No, I'm not saying I believe in like a big man in the sky with a white beard who created the
very few people do believe in a big man in the sky with a white beard, yeah.
But I do, like, if I was to believe in anything, I believe in karma. I believe whatever I've done in this life, I'll get rewarded then when I'm dead.
That's odd.
It's not like it's one being that I believe in. You know what I mean?
I know. People believe in religion sometimes out of fear. Edward, sorry. Go ahead. You want to say something?
No, the girl is well grounded. She's well grounded. You can hear the way she's talking.
If she's on her deathbed, she might suddenly turn to God. You know what I mean?
Might is a very big word. No, might is a very big word, and the girl is absolutely on point. I mean, she's actually thought about this, which is unfortunately what an awful lot of people in this country are not doing. They simply don't think or ask questions about their religion or their faith, and they say, look, how did this fella turn two loaves of bread and two fish into 5,000 Happy Meals? How did he do that?
Look at all the baptisms and everything that happened. Do you think every single person who gets their child baptism nowadays is because they actually believe in God? It's not. It's because I bet you 95% of it is just that they can have a party. Or that it's just out of habit.
I do agree when it comes to communions, confirmations, weddings, baptismal. I think a lot of it has just become traditional more so than religious. Okay, but we'll stay there, Jessica and Edward, because I want to just go to Mark. Say it again, Edward.
So are you sure that's not a recruitment drive for early adopters to try and capture a new breed of what I would call slaves?
Well, baptismal was always considered to be indoctrination. Yeah, but hang on. Martin, hi, how are you?
I'm very well, Niall. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. Martin, now you've heard Edward, you know, he doesn't believe there's any reason to believe in a God whatsoever, that everything is explainable, more or less, and everything that's not will be in the future.
I've heard him, but I haven't heard any explanations. I've heard opinions, and everyone is entitled to an opinion. Now, when it comes to the fundamentals and the precepts of science, now, you know me now. Yes, I am a Christian. I'm not a Catholic. I've read the Bible. I've read the Quran. I've read the Hindu Vedas. I've read Marx. I've read them all, okay? I've read Christopher Hitchens. I've seen lectures from all different directions. Now, where it starts for me is science has been talked about here quite a deal. The underlying principle is that for every effect, there's a cause, okay? That's a fundamental principle through science. Now, people will say, oh, well, how could you have, where does it start then? You know, what caused God to come into existence? But you have to step outside of our realm of reality and understand that the realm that God inhabits, his realm, is entirely different. There are entirely different laws. So when he created everything, and if he has all the, for want of a better word, if he has all the power and energy and existence under his control, nothing is beyond him. Whatever he wants to do, he can do. Raise the dead, yes. And I heard quoted two loaves and two fishes. If you're going to start quoting things, Edward, at least get your numbers right. It just shows that you actually haven't read the Bible. So, or if you have, you've just given it a very cursory glance. It wasn't two loaves and two fishes. So where it starts for me is the fundamentals of the science. For every cause, or for every effect, there's a cause. And you can't have something come into existence without a cause. Now,
okay, you're getting into repetition there, sir, with respect now. Okay, we've heard that already.
Excuse me. Would you please, even if you don't believe in God, would you believe in manners for a moment? You've had plenty of time.
This has nothing to do with manners. If you're going to keep repeating yourself, at least make sure that your narrative is changing.
I've heard you repeat yourself. I'm sorry for speaking while you're interrupting. Go ahead.
You're doubling up on your narrative. Basically, we have heard what you've had to say. I've listened to you. And
you've doubled and trebled on your narrative. Would you just be, just for one moment, if you can allow somebody else to have a point of view?
Yeah, but keep it singular is what I'm saying. Is that too much to ask of you?
Well, you haven't kept it singular. Oh, is it too much to ask of you just to be quiet for one moment, please, while I make a point? That's all I'm asking.
Do you need to repeat that point? We're not stupid here on this program. I'm listening to you. I heard you the first time, as did Niall. Okay, you've made some points, and maybe we might get an opportunity to reply to them if you could actually just stop repeating yourself. Tell me when you stopped, and I'll continue.
Oh. Okay, so let me just interject here because I don't want people falling out with each other. Martin, I suppose let's stick to the main nub of this today, which is not so much about religion, but about the existence of a creator or a god. And everybody has a different view of what that god is. The traditional view is obviously the man with the beard sitting on the seat up in the clouds, right? But the traditional view of a god, everybody has a different type of god in their own view, or somebody who's a creator. You know, it's easy to make a claim, Martin, that a god or somebody that created everything exists. And a lot of the things that were accredited to a god over the years, over the thousands of years, have been answered by science. Now, many of those things haven't been answered and may never be answered. But would it not be fair to say that sometimes a belief in a god is ignorance of fact, and ignorance of science?
I think it depends on the facts that you're being ignorant of. I mean, you know, you mentioned earlier on very few scientists believe in God, but some of the most famous scientists in history believe in God, whether they be from the Eastern religions. You know, there were numerous people who believed in God, excellent scientists, mathematicians, particularly historical ones. When you come into the West, you have people like Michael Faraday, you know, invented the electric motor. He was a devout Christian.
I'm talking about presently.
Isaac Newton. Like,
I'm talking about in present times, in modern times.
Okay, Niall, in present times. But it's like everything else. You still have people with varying opinions. Now, I don't try to run my opinion down people's throats. Nor do I tell people, you shouldn't not believe in God. If you don't want to believe in God, that's entirely down to you.
Do you think a belief in God for a lot of people, and by the way, I want to say again, I do respect people's belief in God, and I always have had respect to people's belief in God. I don't believe in God personally myself, but I respect other people's belief in God. Do you believe a lot of that is born out of fear?
A lot of believing in God is born out of fear.
Yeah, because people want to believe happens after they die.
Well, I can't speak for other people, but I can tell you, for me, my belief in God is not born out of fear. It's born out of absolute amazement and love for the creator that created the world, created me, allowed me to see my two daughters take their first breath when they were born. I mean, like, all of those things are things that affirm the existence of a creator for me.
Yeah, but they affirm them for you, but they don't affirm them for everybody. I had three children. You know, when they were born, I didn't affirm it to God. I affirmed the fact that biologically reproduction happens.
Yeah, that's the point I'm making. As I said before, you can have several witnesses to something that happens, whether it be a crime, an accident, or whatever else. And when they're questioned, quite often, even though they've seen exactly the same thing, they'll give different, you know, the narrative will vary as to what they actually saw, because people see things and interpret things in different ways, and they're entitled to. But I have to say, I think Edwards, you know, his attitude is one of sheer arrogance and ignorance, because as far as he's concerned, everyone who does believe is ignorant and stupid. I would never say that about
Let him quickly respond to that before I go to Morris.
Let me respond to that, please, okay. Niall. Yeah. I did not say stupid. I'm on the contrary. I have already admitted to the fact that when I was a young boy, I was subjected to what I would call systemic brainwashing, indoctrination. I was an altar boy.
I think the word you used was nonsensical, if I remember right.
I was an altar boy up to the age of 10 years old. And I had a turning point, but I'm not going to get into that on this program. But at no stage did I say anybody was stupid because they believed.
I think he used the word nonsensical, Edward.
I withdraw that.
No, he used the word stupid.
But I do think the inference. Well, I think you're right, Martin. There was an inference, Edward, because you did use the word nonsensical, which is kind of the same thing, isn't it?
Okay, well, look, let's go with that just for the sake of argument. But my point is that I don't dismiss people out of hand just because they have a belief. I have a huge difficulty with people who are simply not prepared to look at this under scrutiny, look at this issue in Ireland. And it is a serious issue because our children are at risk from these notional lunatics in frocks going around pumping Bibles and threatening all sorts and demanding absolute devotion to this.
There is an argument, sorry, just before I come to Morris, there is an argument, Edward, that with the decline of religion, we've also seen a decline in society, in behaviour, with particularly young people, I suppose, that maybe religion, not so much the belief in God, but a religious order, you know, kept people in check to some degree.
No, it did not, and there's no room for it. I mean, when you talk about keeping people in check, you're talking about misogyny of the highest order. I mean, the church does not like women in their ranks. The church does not like homosexuals. The church will not tolerate certain types of contraception. In fact, we know quite well what their attitude is towards AIDS and the like. They simply demand that you toe the party line. You do not use contraception. You do not fancy the bloke next to you or the girl in your class. All of that sort of stuff strikes fear into children at a very early age.
Okay, well, hang on a second. I want to bring Morris and Stephen in as well. Morris, hi, how are you?
Niall, how are you doing? I was just listening the last hour. I'm very intrigued with all the different opinions. So I Googled, what is an atheist? And the answer was, atheists don't exist because God doesn't believe in them.
That's a bit of a conundrum, isn't it? Yeah, okay. But go on.
Yeah. There you go.
Anyway, yeah, God doesn't believe in atheists either. Yeah, you know, I get you. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. So anyway, they don't exist like he doesn't. But I was just looking at something that I had that was sent to me by a friend of mine. And just trying to work out what this is here now. But at the end of the day, Lyle, you know the old story in this country. There's three things you don't talk about, or two things, sorry, religion and politics.
Mm.
You know, and it is very hard. Like, whatever you go through personally yourself in your life.
It's religion, sports, and politics, isn't it? Yeah, go on, yeah.
I've had incidents in my life where my mother said to me, look, if you ever get into trouble, say a prayer to this fella or that fella or the other fella. And that's my personal belief, and I do. And then I start getting interested in the history of Ireland and where we come from and how come we're such a holy religious Catholic country. And then I find out about all the damage that was done by the church, i.e. what Edward talked about with the brutalising the children, rape and fucking everything else going on in the church, and the devil is in the Catholic Church. But I recently found out a bit of history in Ireland about religion that a lot of people didn't know about, and I find it fascinating. And I'll just read it to you. It won't take long. It says, penal rosary beads. These are called silent beads. During penal times in Ireland, when no one was allowed to practice a Catholic faith, hand-crocheted rosary beads, similar to these in this packet, would have been used. The rosary could then be concealed on the person without being discovered, because the Irish people kept their faith close to their heart.
Mm.
And so, it's there for a reason, and the people chose to follow it. They were told, if you worship God rather than the King of England when we were invaded, we'll kill you. But still, the people chose to go with what they believed in.
Why do you think that is?
I think we have a very strong faith in this country. We're a core of a people. So
who's God? I mean, when you think of God, Morris, you believe in God, obviously. What do you think he looks like? Is it a person?
A creator who is full of eternal light and love. It's the creator.
Do you see it? I mean, can you describe it to me? Because this is something people can do. Can you describe it to me? Is it like a person?
I don't know. I'll tell you what I felt once when I saw my son with special needs hug my wife. I saw unconditional love. And that's what I feel and think when I think of God.
Right, okay. So you don't actually see a person. Right. You don't see somebody with a beard sitting up
in
a cloud.
No, it's just something you feel. Oh, okay. It's just something you feel.
Okay. So it's God. So what you're saying is God is within us.
And now you hit the button. Thanks for finding that, because now you have to wait until I found it.
All right.
Anybody else. But I'll give. Can I give one sentence to that man that we were talking to earlier?
Edward. Edward.
Edward, you're entitled to your opinions, and I admire you for standing up for your stance. I'll give you one book that I read, and it changed my life. It's called My Journey Through the Spirit World by Paddy O'Connell, an Irish man who was a civil servant. Blew me away. Mm-hmm. Give it a try, and if you don't like it, I'll give you the money back for the book.
Look, I'm open to all sorts of education on this subject, but right now, as I said to Niall earlier in the programme, I have read everything that could be read on this with interest.
Yeah.
And nothing that I have seen thus far has given me any support or belief that there is something else in this world other than ourselves.
But I mean, Edward, I know you from Twitter, and we probably have very similar views on Twitter, you know, about woke people, etc., etc. You know, if you want to blame wokeism on somebody, you can blame it on atheists. Because when people turned away from believing in religion, they started believing in other things, which were equally as bizarre. And a lot of that that's where the wokeism came from.
Well, potentially so, but I mean, I'll give you a very quick anecdote that changed my thinking on the whole subject of religion. I used to go to church every Sunday religiously with my father and my mother. And there was a pair of twins, beautiful kids that were living on the same estate as me. And they were dressed to the nines, but they lost their mother to cancer, and the father raised the children very, 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 very well, as best as he could. And one of them ended up under a bus right before my eyes. Okay. God, Jesus Christ Almighty, I never seen anything like it. I won't go into details, but she ended up under the wheel of a bus. And I said to myself, if God exists, why would he allow such a thing to happen?
That was a question, of course, that was asked by Stephen Fry. And it's ironic, by the way, in the middle of all that, you said, God, Jesus Christ, why would somebody allow that to happen? But mind you, that's just being Irish. Okay, stay there, Edward. Let me go to Stephen. Stephen, hi, how are you?
Thank you very much.
Good. Stephen, do you believe in God? Do you believe in religion? Are you part of any religious belief, or what's your stance?
My own personal belief is that, you know, maybe there is some kind of higher power kind of controlling and spinning the wheels of the universe and life around us and so on. And, you know, maybe is all existent within us, you know. But I don't know if I would call it God. I don't know if I would call it, you know, Krishna or anything else. I just think that maybe there is something there, and I think that if and when we all die, you know, the thing that we are as in a human body, you know, goes in the ground or goes in the fire or goes whatever you want to do with your body at the end of the day, but the energy within it goes out and does something else. It becomes something else as part of everything in the world.
And do you believe that, because it's kind of hard to believe in anything other than that? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's when you say to people, you know, you go in the ground and nothing happens, it's kind of hard to believe that. Mind you, it's not really hard to believe it, because if you say to somebody what happened before you were born, they wouldn't be able to tell you. So realistically, do you believe that, you know, it's impossible to think of the notion of going into the ground and then nothing happening?
No, I'm sure, you know, plenty of people are quite comfortable with the idea. I'm quite comfortable with the idea that, you know, I was at a funeral for a friend's partner, and, you know, I had said, we were kind of walking through the cemetery afterwards, and I said, when I die, just put a tree on top of me and leave it there, and, you know, and the tree can grow and be there as a thing to say that, you know, my body is there, or that it's just a tree in the field somewhere, you know. And I don't know. I think all beliefs, regardless of what they are across the world, are a way of us trying to find a meaning for why we're here. Science, religion, whatever, it's all a way of trying to figure out why we're here for, as you said, 80, 90 years. It's now, you know, in some cases, 100 plus years.
Yeah.
You know, it's just us trying to figure out why we're on this bloody,
why are we trying to figure that out? Here's my question, and I'll say this to all of you. This whole idea of the meaning of life, right? Why do we need to know the meaning of life? What's so important about knowing the purpose of your life? There is no purpose. You're just here. And if you make an influence on other people's lives while you're here, well and good. But if you didn't, and you just sat in a chair for the whole of your life and did nothing, so be it. It doesn't make any difference. I mean, why does there have to be a purpose to life? Why do people keep reaching for this question all the time? Edward, do you think there's a purpose to life?
Well, this notion that we're mortal is terrifying. Well, you know, this notion that we will all eventually pass and we'll all turn to dust is very, very scary for a lot of people. And, you know, this belief that, you know, surely there must be more to it than that. is what drives a lot of religion, and it's what makes people turn to religion, especially in their latter years. You know, increasingly older people are much more religious than they were when they were younger because of this very fact. Christ, I hope there's something more than this. And I can't blame them for that, Niall. Come on, we can't. But you've also got to remember that as well, religion is much more prolific in impoverished countries like the Philippines, like Africa, than it is in the Western world. You know, why do people turn to this so-called notional entity in times of stress and strife? We know why. Because there has to be something better than me sitting here with a bowl and no food in it, is what they're saying to you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it comes back to fear again, and like it comes back to something wanting something better out of life, and you know, and I suppose he is right. And we often hear of, say, Stephen, people who've gone down the wrong path, and all of a sudden they're born again Christians, because I suppose they just want a better life. So people believe by believing in a religion or believing in a God, they'll have a better life.
Yeah, I think because, you know, this is an image and a presentation of what we consider all to be good in the world. And that is an attractive thing because we want to feel like there is a purpose, that there is a good thing that we can do, that we feel remorse for the bad things that we do and joy for the good things that we do. You know, these are all just things that we have tried to give some kind of meaning or source to for all of time and space. You know, it's just one of these things that we need something to justify us being on this little planet, in this little solar system, in this little universe that we're in.
Yeah, it's kind of, when you think about really intelligent people like Jordan Peterson, for example, who I'm a huge follower of. I love Jordan Peterson's work, but he's also a believer in God, Edward, as well. He believes in God.
Yes, he is. But that in itself doesn't support the notion that he exists, Niall, just because, I mean...
No, I'm not saying it does. But, I mean, what I'm saying to you is an extremely intelligent man who's supported by a lot of people. A lot of people like me and you would have the same kind of thinking as me and you would be supporters of Jordan Peterson. Yet he believes in God. It just goes to show you, there's nothing wrong with believing in God.
No, not at all. Well, if you look at America, for example, if you dare have a conversation like this, and you would probably end up with a bullet.
Well, it depends on what part of America, the southern states, maybe.
You go down to Texas, the Bible Belt, and you have this conversation, you'll be driven out of town, literally. But I mean, you've got to remember that a lot of the presidents, there's no president that I can think of in existence in the United States that did not believe in God, because to say otherwise would run the risk of him being kicked out of office
I'm a big fan of Trump. He's a big believer in God. I know Stephen is a fan of Trump. But Stephen, in relation to religion in general, I would be surprised if you were a supporter of religion, because most religions don't support, say, your lifestyle, for example, as a gay man. So I'd be surprised if you support religion.
Yeah, but, you know, faith in general, whether it's science, religion, whatever, can be ultimate good or ultimate bad, and a lot of people exist within that middle space somewhere or other. You know, I will happily give out to and attack people that will attack me just because I'm different to them, you know, because that goes against a lot of the core tenets of all religions, that unconditional love, that we were all created in whatever way we were created, and that we should live in peace and harmony with each other.
Okay, stay there just for a second. Let me just go to Owen as well. Owen, hi, how are you?
Yeah, hi, Niall. How's it going, boy? You well?
I'm well. Owen, your first time on. Now, you're from Cork, and you're a believer in God.
Big-time believer in God.
Okay.
And I had a good faith as a child, and then I rejected it and became an atheist. And it was through a 12-step program, a higher power was reintroduced to me.
Were you an alcoholic?
Roaring alcoholic, Neil.
Okay. Roaring. I know AA uses God as part of the recovery.
I'm not speaking for the fellowship. There's a lot of 12-step people out there, you know?
Yeah.
But what we believe in is our own individual higher power.
Yeah.
And the first thing I do every morning when I get out of bed is I'm down on my knees. And this might work for you because I know you struggle with the cigarette. I pray to keep me away from the first drink, the first drug, and the first cigarette this day, and just get me through.
But is that not just using God as a crutch? Do you know what I mean?
Assistance.
Well, yeah, but I mean, do you need? I mean, that. I don't want to have a go at you, and I respect.
Well, I know where you're coming from, but over the years, right? And I'm 27 years without a drink.
Yeah, but you could have done that yourself without God, couldn't you? You could have gone off it without God.
Well, I've seen loads of people come into rooms and they refuse to get the notion of the higher power and they're in a constant state of relapse.
But, that, but that's only because AA used that method, the 12-step method, which she brings or, you know, introduces God into the whole thing. That's only because that's the method they use, isn't it?
Well, the 12, but they all use, we all do fellowships use it.
And what is God to you? What is, just quickly, what does God look like?
Changes all the time. Changes all the time. Like,
is he a lad with a beard?
No, not necessarily. Like, I wouldn't always be in the church. Like, for the summer solstice, I'll be at a stone circle.
And do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
Well, Jesus Christ definitely existed because the written records are there. He was the whole part of the census and Pontius Pilate's reports back to Rome still exist.
There's no evidence of that at all, but that's, you're just saying that. The only reason we know Jesus Christ exists because in the Bible.
No,
there's no historical records. There is none.
Are you sure about that, Neil?
Yeah, there was you know, one. I remember there was one, but it's been disputed. This is in relation to somebody who worked with Pontius Pilate or something like that. I can't remember his name, Barabbas or something. Yeah. Usually, maybe a name like that. Anyway, but that has been disputed over the years that it was biased because it was written by somebody who turned out to be Christian or something like that. It was a secondhand story. So it turned out, as I said earlier on, there were 19 historians in that part of the Middle East who have all written scriptures and books, and none of them mention Jesus or a person called Jesus.
That's right.
I'm just saying. I'm not saying he doesn't exist. In your mind, he does. That's fine. But I'm just saying none of them ever mentioned him. You would find that surprising because there would have been hundreds of prophets because it was quite common for people to stand up on stools and rocks and, you know, be a prophet in those days.
I always get that, Neil, even in Dublin.
Well, nowadays, yeah, you get it in Hyde Square. Yeah.
Soapboxes down there and they'd be saying how Jesus...
Yeah, Simon Harris thinks he's a prophet, yeah.
And in about 2 years' time, then they're up in court for robbing all their disciples, being sex pests with the young girls.
Well, probably, yes. Thank you. Well, thank you for that. I got to go to Bernie. I've got to clear up lines here really quickly because I've a couple of people to get through. Stay there, Stephen and Edward. Bernie, hi, how are you?
I'm grand, how are you?
Good. You believe in God?
I do.
Okay.
I believe that he's here with me all the time. He's part of my life's journey. He's part of everything. He's part of my family. He's part of everything. The trees outside. He's like a cloak I wear every day. I take great delight in that I have a support. You know, I feel it. I feel it within me, outside of me, all around me. I can't ask for anything better than that.
Edward, can I ask you a question? Bernie is a wonderful woman. I know her well. She's very generous, kind. There's so many words I could use to describe her. She believes in God. She believes God is there all the time. You know, you earlier on mentioned the fact that you believe belief in God and religion can be dangerous. Certainly in Bernie's case, it isn't. It makes her a good person.
No. I've heard her, and when you listen to her words, you can almost empathize with that sense of connection that she has. I'm impressed by it. But, you know, Bernie, without going too deep into this, you need to look at the origins of that. I mean, and how that evolved and how you came to that sense of spirituality. Most of it was based in fiction, as Niall said earlier. Okay, number one. And number two, what you have now created is something in your mind. It doesn't exist in the real world. You have created that. And nobody could criticize.
Yes, yeah, sorry, Bernie.
Nobody could criticize you for that.
I have come on a journey through my nursing career of seeing, I've had the privilege to work with other people who've had fear, who've had death in their faces, who have had died. I've seen everything in that line. And I can only tell you that from that I have earned what I feel is there's bigger than me. There's someone bigger than me keeping this whole place ticking over. And a lot of the stuff that we all think is blaming God. It's a divine, it's bigger than me. That's all I know, it's God. He created me, he gave me this journey to go on. I have met the most amazing people like Niall, like Karen, like Sarah, like so many people in my life have come into my life. I can't explain how they came in and became involved with my life. They did. And I've met people who have made my life misery. I've also made people who have made my life and made my journey. that much easier to bear, because some days everybody's journey is terrible. And some days we wake up and it turns out to be the worst day of your life. But somewhere in me, I feel that tomorrow is going to, that I have some help. There is support there.
But do you think, do you think you might be calling on your own resources, your own personal resources, as opposed to some entity that you've described? Do you think that maybe could be coming from you?
No, it's coming from somebody bigger than me, because my husband was an atheist. He was brought up in the Catholic faith and he just left it all behind. And I feel him here with me every day. And he would not have explained that to me. I feel my children, I feel their love connection. I felt all that. I was allowed to bond with my children when they were born. I carried them. I don't know how their minds work. They're on their own journeys now, but I helped start their journey. I created that journey with the help of the divine.
I just want to come back to Stephen in relation to that. Stephen, I suppose a lot of people would describe God as, you know, human feelings, like love, empathy, all those things that we can't learn. We're basically either we have them or we don't. That's God. That's part of what God is, or you know, a higher power is.
And maybe that is the case, but, you know, alternatively, you could argue that we created God as a means of explaining why we have such powerful instincts and feelings. You know, like your caller who went to AA and, you know, uses God every day to help keep him sober, you know, you could argue that, you know, he is, as Edward was saying, is drawing on an internal source of, you know, power and strength and comfort through, you know, using an external means to say, well, you know, God is helping me to do this. And if that's the case, great, good. You know, it's not doing him or anyone else any harm. If anything, it's doing him good. Mm. You know, the core tenets of all religions are wokeism. Just because before I came on, you used it, and I was just kind of going, that's not the lack of religion.
By the way, I'm taking responsibility. To be fair, Stephen, I took responsibility for wokeism. I believe that wokeism started with atheism rather than starting with religion. So, I mean, I'm responsible, not me personally, but my lot are responsible for the wokeism.
Yeah, but to ascribe those learned qualities that Stephen is talking about, Niall.
Sorry?
To ascribe those qualities that the other woman and Stephen is talking about to a higher power is a mistake, an absolute mistake. We're all capable of empathy. We're all capable of love. It's inherent in all of us.
No, we're not.
No, we're not. Not everybody has. Some people are very cold for
empathy is a learned thing.
I know. Edward, Stephen made, or Steve earlier on, not Stephen, Steve made a point earlier on that if I kill another human being, no matter how bad I am, I have to walk away with a level of guilt. And it doesn't matter how I'm brought up, or, you know, I'll walk away with guilt. Most people will feel guilt. But if a dog, you know, attacks a cat and kills it, do they have any guilt? Probably not.
But
are
you going to blame that on a higher power?
No. What I'm saying is those things aren't learned. They're within us. So that's very difficult to explain, isn't it? It's rationally, that's very difficult to explain.
I think there are innate qualities in every human being. I mean, these Ten Commandments, these notional commandments that have been handed down.
Oh, no, I don't buy into that. No.
They're all common sense, basically.
Well, they were around before Moses, you know, got those things inscribed on tablets. I mean, people knew long before that you don't kill each other, or that you don't steal, or you don't nick your neighbor's wife or whatever. They were quite common in those days, even before those tablets were created, that people knew there were consequences to those actions. Stay there for a second, Bernie and Stephen. I think Aaron is the last person, I think, to say. Aaron, hi, how are you?
How you doing, Niall?
Good.
Interesting conversation. It's thoroughly there with the empathy. Certainly don't believe everybody has that. The godlike source of the higher power. Certainly a believer in a higher power, but a reference you made about is God the man in the sky with a beard? I certainly do not believe that. And I thoroughly enjoyed your speech and rhetoric and your statements around history and maybe the evidence that may exist around the existence of Jesus Christ or figures down through the years. But my own point of view on listening to the discussion there would be, I certainly do believe in the higher power, Niall, but I must say I'm coming around to a very large percentage of your own statements regarding what it is a lot of the people would have maybe been told, or the belief systems down through the years. And again, without going into politics mainly, but those who are in power, I suppose, control our history, Niall, if you might agree with that.
Well, of course they do, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a big part of it for me. Big part of it for me. And listening to a lot of the passionate speakers, I've done so over maybe the last half an hour or so, it's a great topic that you are holding here today. And I suppose going forward, our own reality, I believe, has gotten totally disconnected from godlike sources, so to speak. But faith, I suppose, Niall, would be a big thing to me, I suppose. I don't know what you'd think of that, but having faith...
Well, it's the only thing that you have, if you're religious, is to have faith, because you have to, because it is based on what they call blind faith, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And do you think, Aaron, that a lot of religious belief or belief in God is based on fear? Because Edward talked about that earlier on, the idea that we feel there has to be a purpose to life, and if there is no purpose, well, at least there must be something better after we die. Or that kids are told at a very young age, listen, if you don't be good boys and girls and believe in holy God, you're going to go to hell. So is a lot of it based on fear?
Yeah, it's very much so. It's the element in which you speak of there is something I would have thought as a child. You know, you do something bad, God is going to judge you, your parents will judge you. That fear element that you don't want to disappoint. Also, I believe there was someone mentioned, it might have been yourself, Niall, in referencing like that God, it might have been the lady, that God has maybe the, how would I say, not the interference, but maybe the interjection or the connection with the creation of a human being. I did often question that intercourse alone maybe is not the creation of the human being, the human soul. Part of me is of the belief that there is a higher power, a soul connection, and that maybe just not intercourse alone creates who we are. Mm. A bit like smoke and fire, I suppose there's a transition of some degree, but I am totally in the belief that there is indeed a higher power. I just don't believe we might fully understand what that higher power is.
That's a really interesting point. And sorry, because I'm running out of time, but I want to go to Edward just quickly on that point. Edward, he makes a really interesting point. Intercourse alone or reproduction produces biological human beings, right? But it doesn't produce consciousness. And it doesn't produce the type of human being you are. So that's very difficult to explain without introducing religion or God or a higher power, which is consciousness, Edward.
No, I get that. But let me finish on this note, if I may, okay? And it's a question that I would pose to everybody who's been listening to this thus far. What kind of loving God would threaten a child with being burned to death? What kind of loving God would make such a threat? And what would we do with him if he existed in this real world? We take him to court.
They would claim it's a God that gives free will.
No, he does not. No, it's not written in the Bible. There's no such thing as free will. This is the redacted version, the heavily edited version. It's been through several editors. Every single time. Yeah. What kind of God would do that, would threaten any of us with hell and damnation if we don't follow his teachings?
Okay, well, hang on. I just have to bring John in because I'm running out of time rapidly, because the problem is if I go too far over time, I can't upload it. John, I've got 3 minutes. Go for it.
Right. It amazes me, like the likes of Mick Nugent and all the others, and of course Christopher Hitchens was mentioned, and
Edward
Dawkins, all these guys that come in who made money out of trying to prove that God doesn't exist. Like, if you're a fully functioning, 100% organic atheist, you get up in the morning, you don't piss me off because I'm a Catholic or I believe in God. You just mind your own business, right? You don't believe in God or gods or organized religion. That's a true atheist. You don't even comment on it, right? I think what's wrong, they have the biggest inferiority complex on the planet, right? That's just what's wrong. And there's only one thing worse than a person that has an inferiority complex is a person that doesn't realize that they have one.
Right. Okay, so do you believe that people who believe in God or who don't believe in God, atheists, they have some sort of superiority complex? They think they're more intelligent.
The biggest inferior complex in the planet. Oh. And they feel all the time, to justify their own existence, they must keep and attack other people. Well, I don't need like a validation. I don't need that. I'm not a priest, no. Listen, you're very condescending, very smart ass here today with Maureen and others there, right? This is typical of people in the take away atheists there. This is all you do, you just go on the attack. Just mind your own business, right? And leave us mind our business, right? If you don't believe, that's grand. I don't force my Catholicism, my belief in God on you. Don't you try and force your asshole atheism on me.
Listen, on that note, Aaron, thank you. Stephen, thank you. John, thank you. Edward, listen, I appreciate you, Edward, staying as long as you did, by the way. I didn't think that you would stay that long, but I'm glad you enjoyed the conversation.
Till next time.
Thanks very much indeed. Thank you to everybody who got involved in that conversation. One or two messages here. Oh, WhatsApp's to play here, which is from a go. Hold on. Oh, there it is. There, let me see. There we go. Hold on.
Topic, Niall. God is what the person believes God is. If somebody believes in God to keep their moral compass in check, so be it for religious reasons, or to console them if somebody dies. But what gets me is people trying to convince other people that God exists. Why? You cannot tell anybody for a fact that God exists. The most religious person on earth cannot say with 100% certainty that God exists, because then faith would not exist. These people would then believe in that they are somehow enlightened and know answers that other humans do not know. And this leads to ridiculousness, our extremism within religion.
I don't want to ruin it for you all, but anybody out there that hasn't read the Bible, in the end he dies. Sorry about that.
Cheers. Thanks, Dan. Cheers.
Guys, I'm going to head over to the site now and have a little gander for what's left of it. Higher power is a power greater than yourself. So it could be a fly, it could be a flea, it could be a leaf, or it could be me. Right.
Good, out of that, Sarah, you're mad. All right, listen, lots of messages. Billy says there is no God. The story of Jesus is the same as Horus. The Egyptian is Egyptian mythology. Dionysius, Greek mythology. There is no records of Pontius Pilate condemning a man named Jesus. That story that people come up with, saying there was a historian that wrote about Pontius Pilate. I think it was supposed to be a record of a slave of Pontius Pilate who mentioned Jesus. And that was the mention, they say, that historians give of Jesus. That has been refuted by so many people, that it's actually not true. It was just a myth, or it was a story made up by people, Christians, who wanted to do it. You can check what I said there. I think it was 19 historians. I could be wrong. I think it was 19 historians in that particular region of the Middle East at the time where Jesus was supposed to be, of Nazareth. And none of them ever mentioned a person called Jesus. But you have to remember what Nazareth would have been like in those days, in Bethlehem and all those areas of the Middle East, what they would have been like. There would have been numerous amounts of people who claim to be prophets, just like there is people who claim to be prophets nowadays. You know, if we look at people like, say, Elon Musk or those people, they claim to be the all-knowing of modern times. So, you know, they would be looked at in the future as, you know, the kind of prophets of the 2024 or the 20th century. 21st century, sorry. So there was thousands of prophets all around that area. So why this particular one? You know, it's kind of odd, particularly because this particular one was never mentioned in history or in history books at the time by historians. So it was odd. And for people who deny that story, you can check it out if you want to, by the way. The story of a person being born on the 25th of December and, you know, having 12 disciples, born of a virgin birth, died and coming back 3 days later. That story is thousands of years old, long before the Bible. There were many different gods who all used the same story, exactly the same story. It just seemed to catch on when it came to the guy called Jesus. Now, some people believe Jesus, and I don't want to disrespect their belief in Jesus Christ. Theorist says, how can any sane person believe in God? There is no solid proof of any type. Eddie says a lot of people who don't follow or who don't really follow God or believe latter or later have a profound experience. HB says, nah, that man Edward is an insufferable and arrogant and very, very angry. He has obviously been hurt by religion. I don't think so. If there is a God, it is pure love. It's not a person, and it's a mystery. Religion used God for its own purposes. Okay, lots of people, by the way, I could read out messages all day. By the way, just to mention as well, Eamon Ryan has announced that he will not run in the next general election. So he's finished with politics completely after he has just stepped down, as you know, as the leader of the Green Party. I think that's pretty obvious. I think the Green Party are on their way, it seems to be. Thankfully, I seen some Egypt this morning, I don't know if it was Green Party, mentioning that we should do away with sun holidays because of the temperatures in Greece at the moment. Now, as you know, there's a heat wave in Greece, by the way. They're not record temperatures. They've had higher. And sadly, one or two people have passed away from the heat. That's what happens in very hot countries. People have more people, by the way, every year pass away from the cold than the heat. But do we attribute that to climate change? No, we don't. So look, that's going to happen. As the climate changes, and the climate will change, different people will pass away for different reasons. That doesn't mean we can't go on holidays. It's a lot of shite. It's just alarmism. Absolute and utter nonsense. Anyway, thank you very much indeed. Don't forget, please support the podcast. And by the way, now more than any other time, you need to support the podcast financially because I have no work. As you know, I ran for election and I'm not working on radio at the moment and I have no work. And even if I do go back to radio, which is still up in the air at the moment, I have to talk to my bosses during the week to see what's going to happen, if I'm going to or if I'm not going to. The problem is that I won't get paid probably till next month. So I'm on beans and chips. So more than ever, you need to support the podcast because we don't have the money to put into it ourselves this month. So please, if you can, try and support the podcast, even a small donation. Go to www.nileboylan.com. That's nileboylan.com. Go to the website, make a small donation or subscribe to all our previous videos and all our previous interviews, which are all there, by the way. You can watch them all there. Don't forget, by the way, another interesting as well, from the end of this month, look, we would love to provide the podcast free of charge every single day. And we will continue to do that, by the way. We're going to continue to do that, provided every single day. But we will be moving to Shoutcast, to an audio stream, rather than the video stream. And if you want to watch the video, you're going to have to go to the website to do it. We're going to change slightly how we do things, because we can't continue. It just wouldn't be financially viable, because the three of us work on it, and we don't get paid for doing it. We make no money whatsoever. The little bit of money that we do get goes into the costs of running it, the electricity, the uploading costs, the server costs, all that kind of stuff. So the little bit of money that we do get out of it from the advertising on Spotify and from your subscriptions goes in just to cover the costs. So that's not good enough, unfortunately. There's three of us working on it and we spend a lot of time on it. So the only way we can do that is by moving it and changing how we do it slightly. I will explain it in more detail, but it will be basically going through the website at nileboylan.com. And we will have a link on Twitter and Facebook every single day. And you just click on the link, the same as you do right now, and you'll be able to do it. Unfortunately, Twitter haven't yet come up with a way of us running this feed like it is now, if you're watching it live on Twitter or Facebook or YouTube, and monetizing that. There's no way of us monetizing that. So there's no way of us getting any money out of that. So in other words, we'll always be doing it for free. And as you know, YouTube, it's on YouTube, but the YouTube monetization is ridiculous. You know, it's like, I don't know, 20 quid for a million hits or something. Ridiculous. So that's never going to happen. So the only way we can do that is by actually moving it to another platform. But there will be a link on Twitter and Facebook, and we'll tell you all about it before the end of the month and how you do that. So you'll still be able to watch it for free. Don't worry. Okay? It might just have ads every now and again. All right? Thank you very much indeed for joining us. We should talk to you again tomorrow at 12. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.